Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh, hello, Ilona Europa, Accent On, Monday, every Monday, 6 till 7, LA Talk Radio, of course, Pacific Time, but I know that people are listening not only in our California, but everywhere. That's what is the hottest things about this radio station, that people can find us all around the world. And Ilona Europa loves people with an accent, or I love to put accent on guests or what guests are doing. Then people know also that we can find very unusual people in my studio are calling in, and many times they don't have any accents. And what this leaves me and all of us? Ilona with funky accent, and I'm praying that this hour, the very important hour for me, will be well understood. And I will try to speak clearly, although I had already very nice conversation with my guest for like 10 minutes before we entered the studio. Seems like he can understand me very, very well. And outside of that, how often LA Talk Radio and Accent On with Ilona Europa has a one only guest? Almost never. But today is this hour that I think is so worth it and so worth it. And I want to devote the 1 hour to very, very, very special guest. Hello, Michael.
How are you?
How do you spell your name?
My last name is Blum, B-L-U-M.
That's pretty simple, but you have something between Michael and...
Oh, middle name is Vale.
That's beautiful, beautiful. And when somebody talks to you, they use both names or only Michael? Michael Vale?
Michael's fine.
Michael is fine? Okay. You know, you think so, because like two weeks ago, I had very important prince from Austria, and he has two names, and I was calling him Mario, but really he's Prince Mario Max. Then I felt really bad, but he never really said, Ilona, stop it. He had a great accent. He will be back here and we'll do crazy stuff all over Hollywood with music and films and all this stuff. I know people miss our prince. Hello, Prince Mario Max. You'll be back in 2 weeks, I think. Okay. We'll be talking about your new shoe line. I cannot wait to design this one with you, of course. Very colorful and very, very hot. Anyway, today is all about music. Music is everything. For me, from moment when I remember, that's all what I was doing. I was studying, I was singing in my country, winning festivals, losing and dreaming and traveling. And then one day from nowhere, 20 something years ago, I was just in America. Then I met my husband and, you know, 20 something years later, things are changing, but it's great. But music is still with me. And I'm thinking that future is always out there because it's always another song to be to be written by me or by next person that will inspire me. It's always another talent that I want to develop and bring to the studio and work with the bestest friends, which seems like Michael. We already have a few names that we both mention, and they're our friends, like Joe Primo and Joe Vanelli, and we are talking about Bob Waits. And, you know, obviously we have probably much, much more, but that was our 3 minutes before we start talking. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, enough of me. Now, I want to focus on Michael. Michael, you, in the 90s, you finished your university in Wisconsin, and you got your Bachelor of Science at engineering?
That's right, in electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm. That's hot. Means that you are very mathematically correct. Is this true?
Well, I don't know about mathematically correct, but...
You got the brain of a smart dude who understand where what means minus and plus, what means electric this and that, plus probably some crazy stuff that I don't understand at all. Okay, then you studied for 4 years?
I did. I have a degree in electrical engineering, and I specialized in audio systems and acoustics.
Oh, then right away you knew that you want to deal with studios.
Absolutely. In fact, when I was my senior project, I designed outboard gear and recording equipment, used to build my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. And I know that one of the description next to your name is that you also are a performer.
Used to be, years ago.
No, start. Let's start about that. Because when you are performing, you are inside of the music. And you are also songwriter. And then you are mixer, you are producer, record producer, and you are building studios. You are everything.
Well, it took quite a while for me to bounce around the industry and find out what I thought I really wanted to do. I thought I would be an artist. And then when I came to Los Angeles, I realized I'm not really an artist. There's plenty of great artists in Los Angeles.
That's cruel. How can you say stuff like that?
Well, I actually am much more comfortable. I understand from the artist's point of view about recording and about performing because I've done it. But I really prefer being behind the console, making the records, and working with the songwriters.
Okay, let's talk. I need Dr. Phil here. I don't believe you.
Really?
Yes. Because when you're a performer, you always are a performer. I know that through your abilities to create amazing records and working with amazing artists, you are anyway a performer. But I would be jealous if I hear somebody singing and playing and doing something better that I think I can do. I'm like, what about me? No?
Not me, no. Actually, aww. I've become a recluse, pretty much.
Really? You can separate your own self and now you become one of the product that you are?
Oh, I really, really feel much stronger about creating the music in the studio than performing. So I don't know how it happened, but I sort of made this shift into really enjoy. In fact, I think it's because I love music so much that creating music, producing music, recording music is like putting the pieces to a puzzle together for me. And it's sort of a challenge. And when it gets done properly or done well, it's an aesthetic beauty that just makes me feel great, more than being on stage.
Do you understand? Do you really feel that music is something so important in our lives that we have so big responsibility, you know, you especially, because I will start reading the names that you are working with and the success story behind all of these things that you do, which is scary, almost scary. But do you think that music has a just importance that sometimes people don't understand how big?
Well, from my personal experience, at times you go, well, what am I doing this for? And then, somebody will come up to me and say, you know, that record you made in 1987, that really influenced my life and changed my life.
And you know what? When I was going through Reel on your website, Titan Records, and will give all information, hopefully, I cannot forget, this need to come from your mouth. But I was having my friends listening and we were like just going through it, I was like, I was like really all of us, the same, every song, every mood, every, you know, it was just not only memories, but something close to my heart and friends that they were listening with me. I just loved it. You know, this years, 20 something years, you know, again, everybody can go to your website.
Yes.
Which is?
TitanRec.com.
Again?
TitanRec.com.
And then everybody can go through history of you, right. You know, recording with beautiful, amazing artists and songs that everybody knows and just loves it. And now I have you in my studio.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Yay! UCLA. Let's start from very serious stuff because we are talking about music and how important music is in your life. But now you are a teacher and, you know, it drives me crazy because many, many years ago, I also have my bachelor degree in music and vocal singing and I finished music academy in Poland. But then I was exclusively singer and I'm not playing instruments, only to write the music. simple music, and then I have great people arranging for me, and I'm working all around the world. Depends from the genre, with my friends. And I like to give them the power over my songs, and I enjoy what they can do with something that I created. And sometimes I have three or four different arrangements. And like we talked a few minutes before, everybody has their own approach to mm-hmm. what hit is. But let's come back to you being a teacher at UCLA, because I'm teaching and coaching young talents, but you are doing something even more serious.
Oh, I teach recording arts at UCLA once a week. And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. And most of my students actually are transfer students. And it's in the extension program. And they're building a really nice recording arts program there.
And you know why I started from this one? Because we need to introduce some beautiful, beautiful band that you recorded recently. Yes?
Right.
And what was the title of the song? Because now I have four. It was,
Kids Are All Right?
Yes.
It's a band called Walla. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and this is Kids Are All Right, yes?
Yes, uh-huh.
Can we play? Can we start from this one?
Sure. The keyboard player was in one of my classes. And
I know, but how cool this is. We are talking to one of the hottest, the biggest producers in the world, and we are starting from the beautiful young people that he's teaching how to record, and he feels very probably proud of them.
Yes, very much.
Okay, then can we mention one more time name of the band?
It's called Walla. I mastered this record. Uh-huh.
Let's do it.
All my life I found it hard to find an appetite for hype. Oh no. Is there somewhere I can crawl inside my mind where noises can't survive? Oh no. Have you given up what you wanted me to be? Daughters and sons, we live in different dreams.
Wow, this is a hit.
It's a great song.
great, some powerful great hook. It's like pop rock with electronica, and drums are great, and just vocals are amazing, powerful. Bigger Than Life, do you think they have a chance?
Oh, yeah, I love the band. In fact, they work with a producer, writer, that was co-written with a writer on Sony, and they're doing really well, the band is. And
do they have a whole album in production? Or this
they
is,
do.
Mm-hmm. They do. Well, we were talking a little bit before the show. Everybody who writes, we all think we have abilities to create a hit. But you were saying, not so.
Yeah, well, I think everybody thinks that they can write a hit, but a hit is a very special thing. If it was that easy, everyone would be writing them. So I think that, you know, there's three things that, and when you say hit, you know, that's a little subjective.
Commercial,
obviously.
And stays forever or short? What do you think? Is this something that's like evergreen, that if it's hit, supposed to stay for a long, long time? Because there are two different descriptions for hit. Okay, hit you, goes away after a few months and nobody wants to come back to it, or stays and we always come back to it.
That's a very good question. I mean, a pop hit sometimes just comes and goes. You know, yeah. Other times, actually, I believe a real hit song is something that has long lastability. So a hit can be recorded by many artists and still be a hit because it's material. It's almost like a great movie is a great movie that can be remade 100 different times, different ways, because the script is really great.
Yeah.
And actually, the song is like the script to a movie.
Can you teach somebody how to write hits?
Can you teach it? I think that it takes a lot of perseverance. I mean, you write and you write and you write and you write, and finally something comes out that's really great.
And do you think that we still need to write the verse, chorus, bridge?
Oh, you mean in terms of arrangement?
No, it means a structure, because I hate structure in life. And sometimes we know that Beatles, sometimes they had only verse. Yesterday, where is the hook, you know?
Okay, well, let's discuss that. So, you know, there's all different structures. There's all different kinds of arrangements. And there's all sorts of different kinds of hit songs. But in essence, music is a communication art.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you communicate with your audience and they're moved by it, moved to go purchase your recording, then whatever you're doing is right.
Right. I love it. You're right.
Isn't that true?
Yes, 100% sure.
So, because it's about communicating with the people listening.
Oh, I love it. Love it. It's true. You know, because you don't know why today I'm crazy about big production. A song that I heard on the radio is Bigger Than Life. And then next day we have Bruno Mars and he plays only piano and his gorgeous voice just,
there you go.
You know.
I mean, here's
so cool.
A great example. You know, the song You're So Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
One lyric, piano, and, you know, a vocal. But the performance,
yes,
the meaning, it communicates.
Then you think we just not supposed to overthink? People who want to, who are an artist, people who are singers, songwriters, people who are collaborating, so many ways of creating music. But really, are we overthinking process of songwriting?
Well, you know what? I'm guilty of it all the time, where I have to check myself and go, well, okay, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be cool musically, you know, like some cool chord change that everyone's going to go, wow, that's so special. It really just has to communicate what you want to say. And if your message is something simple, that's fine. You know, if your message is very complicated as to what you want to communicate, sometimes you need more complicated music and lyrics to go with it. But the bottom line is the music, the lyric, the melody all have to congeal into becoming one message.
And something that people really, it's a communication, which means we need to receive the message that you are giving to us.
Well, exactly. You know, it's almost like, what do I tell my class all the time? I say, okay, so, I've worked on many songs like this, having a minor kind of chord change. But
me likey minor.
But the lyric is all like, let's happy and party tonight.
Nugget.
There's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
It's almost like your body language saying exactly the opposite of what your voice is saying.
Yeah.
Your audience gets a little confused by that. Like, do you really mean?
And the honesty, that's so tough, because being honest with your form of art is the toughest thing to do, because you are naked and you're supposed to be naked in a way on the stage. You need to
bring your soul.
Yes.
Right.
But the break, this, I don't know what they think. Am I looking good? Am I seeing
you
right?
You're tempted, you know, to try to present yourself in a favorable light.
Yeah.
And sometimes you know, you just need to be in the moment.
Not care. I think
exactly.
I love it. Of course, I need to read this. Okay, I don't want to miss anything. Okie dokie. The Monday on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1. That's what we said already. With host, of course, Ilona Europa. Come on. Okay. We will be interviewing in our studio Michael Bloom. That's the man that I dreamed about because I had no idea that you really exist here and you are in Sherman Oaks. And then I know so many songs and production of yours. And then, of course, I was reading Michael has worked with top line recording artists, including Madonna, Michael Jackson, Pink Floyd, Kelly Clarkson, Prince, Jessica Simpson. Oh my gosh, Anastasia and Babyface. And we have song that you will allow me to play for our listeners. I didn't hear from Babyface for a long, long time, yes? And we love his voice, we love his composition, and we have beautiful titles, Strange Fruit, very unusual title. How your relationship with him probably is longer than this one song. You know him?
Well, actually, this was off of an album, a Billie Holiday tribute album. The song's a Billie Holiday song, and it's a very powerful song, and he did an excellent job with it. And so we worked on this song. I worked with Nathan East all these great session players, session musicians, producers in their own right, engineers, and great talent. So this is a really excellent recording.
Oh, gosh. Let's play it. I don't want to say anything. This mood is so beautiful. His voice is so beautiful. Jazzy and elegant and just beautiful. Is this part of CD or is just one song?
Pardon?
Is this part of whole CD?
No, just one song. Isn't that beautiful?
Babyface, he needs to do whole album.
He played the acoustic guitar as well. It's just beautiful.
I know something more will come up because of this one song. This is a style that I think we are missing so much on the radio and in our lives. This is music that is a little bit throwback, of course, but yeah. It's so beautiful.
Well, it's a Billie Holiday song, and you know, it was put out on a label that's actually the owner of the label is Peter Stormare. So it's Storm Vox Records, and it's gotten very good response. It's on iTunes, actually.
My gosh, I hope we are helping this song to be heard and mourned, and just people need to go back and again pick up this song from iTunes and just beautiful, just beautiful.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Such a talent. That's, see what I mean? That's, I'm not an artist. That's
oh,
an artist.
On.
That's an artist.
No, you're an artist because you're part of this beautiful, beautiful, you know, result. And without you and the sound that we are hearing that puts us in this mood, and you have distinctive sound. Whatever you say, Michael.
Really?
I think your sound is... look at when you are listening to your stuff. It's big. It's open. It's spacey. And it's just all 360. You are inside
of
the mix.
You know,
I'm like, it's crazy.
I just do what sounds good to me, and luckily, other people think it sounds good as well.
No, you got a proof of that. Okay, can I read more?
Sure.
Okay, because I know you don't want to talk about yourself, but I need to do that. Okay, then they say on your bio that you are 30 years veteran of entertainment industry, which we all agree. We are getting older, but we are good-looking people still, okay? And then again, he has worked on records that have earned silver, gold, platinum, and diamond awards from RIA and have sold over 100 million records worldwide. That's amazing. We are not talking 1 million. How do you feel when I'm reading stuff like that? Is this really about you? It's like, whatever.
It's kind of shocking, actually. I mean, I came out to Los Angeles, you know, when I was much younger and, you know, really just wanted, I had one goal. My goal was to make a record and actually hear it on the radio.
Yes, that's a good goal. And then, how fast you achieved this?
Then I worked with Madonna and
come on,
I couldn't get away from it. It was all over, which, I mean, was great. But then I had to come up with another dream, so...
We'll do part two if you have time, because I know you are close to this radio. I just don't want to gossip, but I want elegant gossips. And maybe today is not the time for that, but all of these artists, they're so important to all of our lives. And they're magical. They're beautiful people, beautiful artists. And you had the pleasure to work with them. And like I said, they left so many hits and great albums behind it. You were part of it. And you say, oh, I worked with Madonna. That was my first hit on the radio. Madonna was the first one?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. You're crazy.
No, I was very, very fortunate and very lucky. You know, and when you're working with artists, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, this is a record that you're working on, you're passionate about, you do your best job, and then when it leaves the studio...
But she was very known there. You believed, I'm sure, that this will be it. You knew that she's amazing.
I thought she'd be successful, of course.
She's very successful. I love her. Anyway, and one of the names that also is listed is Anastasia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's very known in Europe, and I am from Europe.
Yeah.
And it's just a little sad because I think she deserves much better here.
Right. Yeah. No, I believe me. I met her... I think I saw her sing in a top 40 band. And, you know, she's singing in a hotel lounge, singing top 40 songs. And I had met her manager, and we connected and decided to do a project and try to see if we could get her a recording contract.
And do you think, I don't know how active she is, this is a bad word for artists, because we always are creating something. Do you think she has a chance for the one hit that will break the mainstream and just make her name like really?
Well, I think she had a lot of great European hits, right?
Yes, but Europe, and again, I'm saying Europe is great for music. I love Europe, and I'm very, I would say, nose up when it comes to European music. I think so many great singers and songwriters that came from it. And she's very, a beautiful lady, too, you know. Mm-hmm. She's a very good one. And I love that you work with her because I know her from Europe, you know. I didn't know her here.
Okay.
You know, that's great. And we have this another very great artist, Shelby Lynn. What can you tell us about
Shelby Lynn? Wonderful, amazing vocalist. Amazing. Just truly a talent.
Wow. And we have the song that we need to play, and you've changed. I like the
another
title.
This is another song off the Billie Holiday tribute record.
Okay.
This is a Billie Holiday song, and she, you know, to me, this song just, it just really gets to you. She's excellent, excellent performer of the material, and this is a Billie Holiday song as well.
I like the title. Do you think you've changed over the years?
Or? Have I changed?
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course.
You did.
Don't we all change?
I wish we don't. But yes, we need to. I want to play this song, and we'll be talking about tribute, your great, great business that you're so strong really in your life, yes. And right now, Shelby Lynn.
You've changed. That sparkle in your eyes is gone. Your smile is just a killer charm. You're breaking my heart. You've changed. You've changed. Your kisses now are so blasé. You're bored with me in every way. I can't understand. You've changed. You've forgotten the words I love you. Each memory that we share, you ignore every star above you. I can't realize you ever cared. You've changed. You're not the angel I once knew. All over now, you've changed. Oh, yeah.
You know,
how can you make the singer sound like that?
She does it. I mean, she's
amazing. Did you think it's all her?
That was one take. That was singing with the band.
Live?
Live.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
The session was live in your studio?
That was a tracking session, huh?
And there was one take.
One take. Amazing, huh?
In a way, if it's live performance, which was captured, that's a dream performance, because obviously she delivered the most peaceful and sadness and just, again, the mood. Also, you are keeping us in this mood because of the sound of her voice. I don't know. I'm a singer-songwriter. Again, many studio sounds. I love all of my people that I work with. But you have distinctive sound. You know, it just surrounds you. Before surround system existed, you already surrounded us. You know, then do you hear?
I have a personal obsession with being able to hear everything. So I love to be able to hear everything very distinctly.
You see, then I think I described you very, very well, but really that's what shocked me every time. I didn't know, you know, certain production that was yours, but they are very, in a cute way and good way and amazing way, similar, because that's what draws me into that. And probably people, did you feel like you are surrounded by music? You hear everything, you know, everything. And we hear modern music also, which we have, like I said, a lot of instruments. It's not only that we are talking peacefulness, we are talking jazz, we are talking, no, there may be less instruments and it's all very easy to be picked up
right.
for our ear, which again, the selectiveness is your, you know, your taste, beautiful taste. Then congratulations.
Thank you.
I really, really think that people need to find all of the songs that we are playing very, very easily on iTunes.
iTunes. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I will be printing information about today's show on LA Talk Radio page, and then we'll be having our podcast on iTunes and Stitchers. And people, please, if you like what you hear, you just go to iTunes and just buy it. That's what we need
to
do, yes?
It's a great tribute record, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay, I want to know more about that. The tribute records, yes, and your business, you have whole business around this thing.
Both of those songs are Billie Holiday songs. It's a tribute to Billie Holiday, which is one of my heroes, one of the great female vocalists of all times. And so sometimes I pick artists and do different types of versions with various other, just like what you just heard, in a different way. And sometimes I create a recording that's very similar to the original.
Wow. And I see, again, I'm reading because I want to be correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2005, Michael started Titan Tribute Media.
Right.
What is this company?
Well, basically, you know, I have done some tribute recordings and, you know, I just really enjoy it, mostly because, as we discussed before we walked into the studio, we were talking about what is the essence of a hit song, right?
Yeah.
So let's discuss that really briefly.
Please.
What a hit song to me is, well, actually, if you want to have a hit song in terms of success, right?
Mm-hmm. Commercial
sales,
success, like fast and hits you.
Not only just pop music, but any style.
Okay.
You need, in my opinion, you need three different elements. The first thing you need is a great song, right? Because the great song communicates with people.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you need a great performance of the great song, right?
Yeah.
A great vocal performance, great musical performance, both. They have to really interact and work with the song itself.
Yeah.
And the third thing you need is a great recording of the great song performed great.
Absolutely.
Then I call that the three legs to the stool that actually stand success. So if you want to become successful, you need all three of those things in place. Now, sometimes having a great song and having a sort of substandard recording is still okay because the song itself is so important and so great. In fact, there have been many songs that have become hit songs that actually were demos.
Absolutely.
In fact, Get Into the Groove, Madonna, right? Great song. That was an 8-track recording. So that wasn't an elaborate recording in terms of being in the studio and, you know, all that. So the point is that if you've got a great song and a great artist singing the song or a great performance of the song, that's the majority of it.
Yes.
But on top of it all, if you have a great recording of it, then you really have all the elements that you need to be possibly successful. Of course, success, you have to create something that people want as well. So That's
but,
part of
you know,
it.
The timeless stuff, you know, do we really need to care about what is right now in vogue? Or a real artist, we don't care. We just do what is right for us.
Well, see, that's the bottom line. I mean, I've spent years working with bands, chasing what was on the radio right now. We're going to, you know, have a hit song. We're going to get signed to a label, whatever. You know, chasing whatever is in vogue. But the truth is that, in my opinion, a great artist is a great artist. And if whether or not it's in vogue or not doesn't matter to me. What matters is that you have all of those elements in place and that it moves the audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially in this environment now with iTunes and, you know, things have changed so much,
yeah.
You know, that any individual can actually put out their own record and, you know, potentially become successful if they have something that they really believe in and other people want to buy it. So, as I was mentioning before, you know, you don't need the 10 million sales to be successful in this business. All you need is to find your core audience of people that really like what you do
yeah.
and wants to buy what you do. So,
yeah.
You know, one of the bands that I worked with years ago was a band called The Urge, and they were from St. Louis. And I went to St. Louis. I heard their demo, and I said, wow, this is really interesting. Really interesting, and I think it's unique. I went to St. Louis, and we made a quick little indie record. You know, maybe took 7 days. And we just knocked it out real fast. Well, they ended up selling, you know, 160,000 copies of their own record off stage because people loved it.
Yeah.
And so eventually they got signed on to Sony and all that. But the point is that they could have chosen not to sign with Sony. They could have chosen to stay in the Midwest and build up their audience. Maybe the next record they could have sold 200,000 units. Maybe the next record 250,000. Pretty soon you're at a point where you're actually making a great living, doing what you want to do to the people that love what you do. And, you know, but they had other aspirations. They wanted to be, back in the day, they wanted to be on MTV. They wanted to, you know, sign with Sony.
Not choices that we make in life, and nobody really knows if they're right or wrong. The life's journey shows.
You never know.
You never know. But they had something. You see, they were honest. I mean, people loved them. They had a moment that they felt like they are real artists because they were selling and they were doing what they love to do. And life maybe takes
and
you left
did.
And right.
I mean, you know, they never would have gotten into Europe or been known by anyone in Europe if it wasn't for signing with Sony. Of course, they could have stayed in the Midwest and done what they wanted to do and still done very well. So it depends on how you mark success. Is it financially or is it creatively or is it popularity?
All of this. Yay! That would be perfect. Would you be back for one more session minimum?
Sure, of course.
Oh, because I have so many questions and, you know, because it's so easy to talk to you. Now I'll be better even prepared because you never know. Guests can be
tough. Oh, this has been really fun to work.
Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, my gosh. You know, but we have one more song that I want to play and Always Together, yes?
Great.
Who is the artist?
Well, this is an artist that I've been working with and actually this was this artist was introduced to me by another student of mine, and he's a singer-songwriter and, you know, has been, you know, terribly involved in writing his own material, recording his own material for a number of years. And I just think he's a really special artist. He's a singer-songwriter. He's in the process of making his record. And, you know, I think it's a great, great song. I just finished mixing, and we haven't mastered yet, but this is just a mix.
And again, I don't want to not say the name. It's Derek Stewart?
Right. Derek Stewart.
Okay. Always Together. I love this title.
Thank you. see. When you said you saw the whole future, and your songs came out newer and newer, I was so surprised you tore up our picture of you and me in the sea.
So much. There's nothing worse than fade out, but we have CBS soon coming, and I would love to, with the news, I would love to say again, thank you so much for coming. I know you promised session number two.
Absolutely.
I'll be more prepared. I will have a lot of crazy questions. And in a cute way, Ilona Europa is always closing the show, then only with some of my songs, 30 seconds, because I just couldn't stop it. The beautiful song earlier. But yeah, Eternal Kiss. I like the title too. And then I will say bye-bye. Till next Monday. With burning kiss and bags of fever in the night forever end. Eyes and lips and body, it's your life that's in forever young. Burning kiss and bags of fever in the night forever end. Eyes and lips and body, eternal kiss, eternal kiss. Silence.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.